A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, at a loss as to whom he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, "Master, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now none of those reclining at table realized why he had said this to him. So some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or "to give something to the poor." So Judas took the morsel and left at once. And it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say it to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the rooster will not crow before you deny me three times." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, at such a time as this, we cannot help but ask the big questions, right? Questions like the connection between good and evil, or why evil things like a pandemic can happen. But there are three common mistakes that we can make, and we need to avoid them. First of all, we cannot put evil and good on the same plane. They are not two equal opposing forces, battling it out to see which one is going to win. Actually, evil cannot exist without the good. Evil is always a corruption of the good. It sort of lives off of it like a parasite. But good can, and it does exist without evil. So take, for example, disease. Disease does not exist without the good of life. But life can exist without disease. And it will someday, forever. Second of all, we cannot blame God for evil. God does not cause evil. He cannot, for he is the supreme good. He does, however, in his incomprehensible and mysterious ways, allow evil to happen. And then he uses that evil to accomplish his good purposes. But then third, and perhaps most dangerous, is that we should never presume to know why God allows certain evils, trying to explain away his purposes as if we understand all things. The scriptures direct us to live with attention, and it asks the question, who knows why? Yes, we should never presume to say things like, "God allowed this evil in order to do this good." We can never fully understand the mysterious and multi-layered purposes of God and somehow think that we can wrap our finite brains around his eternal, omnipotent, omniscient plan. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, "Oh, the depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Quite simply, but also most difficult for us, we must trust and then know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So then enter the notorious Judas. Our gospel reading today begins with Jesus being deeply troubled. Troubled surely by evil and darkness, a friend who would betray him, and a painful looming death. But God is not oblivious to evil, nor is he okay with it. It deeply troubles his heart. But nor does he cower from it. Jesus remains fully confident in his Father, and he trusts his purposes. Satan enters Judas, it says, to take control of him, but Jesus controls the situation. What you must do, go and do it quickly. And then Judas leaves. And John says, it was night. It was now the time for darkness and evil. But Jesus will work good from that evil. He immediately goes on to say, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. When it was night, during the greatest assault of darkness and evil, God is glorified. And Jesus then shows us the way. Fast forward to the Garden of Gethsemane. In agony, our Savior prays that he will not have to drink the bitter cup. And then he says, yet not my will, Father, but yours be done. We're told of no voice from heaven. There are no assurances like at his baptism or his transfiguration saying, oh, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. There is nothing except silence. And then the arrival of Judas, who shows up with those who will arrest Jesus. And so Jesus completely abandons himself to the will of his Father, and he trusts that that will is good. It doesn't mean it will come without pain or even without death, because indeed it will. But friends, our redemption was not won by being sterilized or sanitized, untouched or unscathed by evil. Rather, God allows evil to have its day, as he himself then dives into its utter depths. He uses the evil of death to give us life, the evil of rebellion and rejection to offer us his love. Good triumphs over evil, life over death, and God over Satan. And so then, as we are then joined to this very same Jesus, so this present evil that we're now experiencing, and every one of them that will follow, evil cannot defeat us or have a hold on us. Paul writes this in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, one of the very reasons, one of the many reasons why we keep offering this Eucharist, even though we can't be here in person and receive Holy Communion, is that every time we finish this prayer, we participate in this Eucharistic prayer with a great doxology, and we say, through him and with him and in him, O God Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Through Jesus and with Jesus and in Jesus, what we are doing in united in prayer is that we are offering ourselves to the Father for his purposes and asking him that he would be glorified in us forever and ever. And we trust him. We trust his good and gracious will, even though we cannot fully understand it or presume to know all of his ways. we are confident that he will work all things for good and that he will be glorified. And so we offer our lives, looking for every little chance we get to love and to do good in the face of evil. And all of this glorifies him. And then we let him take it from there. We may be graced in this life to see some of his good purposes, and maybe not. We may suffer in the process. But whatever good we don't see now, and whatever happens, we will have eternity to see it and to discover that good, and so also to thank him and praise him and glorify him forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.